Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 8 March 2026, Romans.
Congratulations. You all turned your clock ahead. Very good. Now, there will probably be a couple coming in halfway through. I don't want you pointing at them. Just give them their space. And daylight saving. I like Arizona. They don't have anything. Good catch. They don't have anything there. Now, I'm not for daylight saving, but it's here, so here we are. Ta-da! Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8. That last verses 28 to 39, absolutely phenomenal. And when we finish Romans 8, three chapter parentheses, 9, 10, and 11, three chapter parentheses. But Romans 8, 28 to 39. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship with you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, this great passage starting in Romans 8, 28 to 30, the Apostle Paul presents to us the five steps to glory. Step 1 is foreknowledge, verse 29. Step 2 is predestination, verse 29. Step 3 is election to privilege, verse 30. Step 4 is justification, verse 30. Step 5 is glorification, verse 30. And then from that, he now brings us to the new life and its challenges in Romans 8, 31 to 39. And in that passage, verses 31 to 39, we have five challenges. We've studied the first three. The first challenge was opposition, verse 31. What then are we to conclude to these things? These things being the five steps to glory of verses 28 to 30. If God is for us, first class condition, and he is, five steps to glory, who is against us? That's the first challenge. The second challenge is the a fortiori challenge or encouragement in verse 32. The God, God the Father, who did not even spare his own Son, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, but on behalf of all of us, he delivered him over to judgment. A fortiori. with stronger reason. Most certainly, then, he will also with him graciously give to us the all things. And that brought us to challenge number 3, which is judging in verses 33 and 34. Verse 33, who will bring a charge against, that is, who will accuse the elect of God? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Yes, rather, the one who was raised, resurrection of Christ, who is now at the right hand of God the Father, the ascension and session of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also intercede for us as our defense attorney. Well, that brought us to a doctrine that I haven't taught here in the 500 years I've been here. And that's the doctrine of the ascension and session of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've studied the first 6 points of the doctrine of the ascension and session of Christ. Point 1 was definition. Both the ascension and session of Christ occurred in his resurrection body. The ascension is that doctrine of Christology pertaining to the transfer of our Lord's true humanity from planet Earth to the third heaven in a resurrection body. The session is that doctrine of Christology pertaining to the glorification of our Lord's humanity at the right hand of the Father. The ascension of Christ demonstrates the vertical travel of the resurrection body, which can move with ease through the atmosphere of Earth and the galaxies of the stellar universe, and even to go through billions and billions of light years in an instant, and entering into the third heaven, the abode of God. Upon arrival in the third heaven, our Lord was seated at the right hand of God the Father. This is the doctrine of the session. And then he received his third royal patent, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the bright morning star. So the chronology of events was, first of all, resurrection. Secondly, 40 days on the earth after his resurrection. Third, his ascension 10 days before the church age began. And fourth, being seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, we know the number of days so exactly because the resurrection occurred on the Feast of First Fruits, and the Feast of Pentecost would occur 50 days later. On day 40, our Lord ascended, and he said that the baptism of the Spirit and the beginning of the church age would occur very soon, very soon being 10 days later. That brought us to point 2, the historical account, Acts 1, 4 to 11. We saw that. And then point 3, the significance of the session of our Lord. After his ascension, his session fulfilled the prophecy of Psalm 110, verse 1. Jesus Christ had to be seated to resolve the angelic conflict. It was the strategic victory of the angelic conflict. And this prophecy in Psalm 110, verse 1, is quoted a number of times in the New Testament. Matthew 22, 41 to 46, Mark 12, 36, Luke 20, 42 and 43, Acts 2, 34 and 35, Hebrews 1:13, and it's quoted so often because it's so very, very important. Acts 5, verse 1, He is the one whom God the Father, has exalted at His right hand as Prince and Savior. Philippians 2:9. Therefore also God the Father, has highly exalted Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and given Him a title which is above every title, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And that brought us to point 4, the session and the strategic victory of the angelic conflict. The ascension and session is not only related to the hypostatic union of our Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also related to the angelic conflict. The fact that the resurrection, ascension, and session is based on the strategic victory of our Lord in the angelic conflict is the subject of Hebrews chapters 1 and 2. And I am studying Hebrews right now. I tell you, I don't know what took me so long to teach and study and teach Hebrews. It's absolutely phenomenal. Hebrews is phenomenal. You just better fasten your seatbelt when we get to Hebrews. It's absolutely magnificent. And with the resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ, all angelic creatures, including fallen angels, are subordinated to Him in His humanity. 1 Peter 3:22, who, Jesus Christ, is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subordinated to Him. In His deity, Jesus Christ is the creator of all angels. In His humanity, He was made lower than the angels, Hebrews 2:7. But now, in His resurrection, ascension, and session, He is higher than angels in His humanity. And someday, in our resurrection body, we will share that same privilege experientially. Being in union with Christ, we are already positionally higher than angels, but in our resurrection bodies, we will be experientially and physically higher than angels. Ephesians 1:22 and 23. That brought us to point 5, the session and the efficacy of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Hebrews 10:12. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross is efficacious. When He received the imputation of our sins and God the Father judged them, that settled the sin question for all time. To indicate the efficacy of His sacrifice, our Lord sat down at the right hand of God. And then that brought us to point 6, the session related to the importance of the church age. And this is where we stopped last time with Ephesians 1:18 to 23. So let's start at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start at verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all ruling demons, demons in authority, inherent power in demons, and demons who indwell world rulers, and every name that is named, rank and file demons. Not only in this age, the church age, but also in the one to come, tribulation in the millennial kingdom. And He put all things in subjection under His feet, Operation Footstool, and gave Him as head over all things to the church, Church Universal, which is His body, the body of Christ, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So the session related to the importance of the church age, Ephesians 1, 18 to 23. Now that brings us to point 7. Point 7, the session of our Lord Jesus Christ and the royal priesthood, a whole new priesthood in this dispensation, royal priesthood. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. No Levitical priesthood. No specialized priesthood. You don't have to be from the tribe of Levi. I don't know if anyone was here from the... Greg, are you from the tribe of Levi? No? Okay, well, now we check that one out. But no specialized priesthood, no Levitical priesthood, no animal sacrifices. Why? Christ fulfilled what all of those shadows portrayed. He's the reality of all those shadows. So no... a Levitical priesthood. Now, a royal priesthood based on the session of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Right there, the basis to be our royal high priest. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now, the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, our royal high priest, because He's King of kings and Lord of lords, royal high priest, who has taken His seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So the session, point 7, the session of Christ and the royal priesthood. 1, subpoint 1. Our Lord was not qualified by birth to be a Levitical priest in Israel. His priesthood, however, supersedes the priesthood of Israel because He is both a king and a priest. Subpoint 2. Our Lord's priesthood is patterned after a royal priesthood, namely that of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was both a king and a priest. So our Lord's priesthood is patterned after a royal priesthood, that of Melchizedek. Subpoint 3. Our Lord is the king priest as a result of His resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father. Our Lord is the king priest as a result of His resurrection, ascension, and session. He has a new title, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and King of Kings. 4, His third royal warrant makes him Lord and King over all lords and kings. His third royal warrant, his title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, makes him Lord and King over all lords and kings. Two, therefore, our Lord's entire royal family, that's you and me, church age believers, are a part of that priesthood. And that's the unique factor, that every believer in the church age is a royal priest. Universal priesthood of the believer. Every church age believer is a royal priest. We don't offer animal sacrifices. That's all done. That was all shadow Christology. Jesus Christ fulfilled all of that. Now it's spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices defined as prayer and thanksgiving to God, grace giving, and divine good production. All of those are spiritual sacrifices you give from your royal priesthood to God. So, one of the unique factors of the church age is the universal priesthood of the believer. Subpoint five. Because you are in union with Christ, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, you are a royal priest. We're living in the church age, the universal priesthood of the believer. The Lord Jesus Christ in his session at the right hand of the Father is the royal high priest of this royal priesthood. Because you are in union with Christ, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, you are a royal priest. Six, Jesus Christ is our high priest, and we are a kingdom of priests. The Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest, and we are a kingdom of priests. As our royal high priest, Jesus Christ makes intercession for us right now. Right now at the right hand of God the Father. Subpoint seven. The ascension and session of the Lord Jesus Christ abrogates the Levitical priesthood. That's done. And replaces it with the royal priesthood. The ascension and session of our Lord Jesus Christ abrogates the Levitical priesthood and replaces it with the royal priesthood of the church age. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifice. What are those spiritual sacrifices? Prayers of thanksgiving to God, grace giving, divine good production. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the virtues of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. but also in Revelation. Turn over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1, verse 6, and right before verse 6, it says, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sin by his blood, his salvation work on the cross, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." And then turn over to chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5, verse 10. "You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." And then turn over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, verse 6. "Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So the ascension and session of the Lord Jesus Christ abrogates the Levitical priesthood, replacing it with the royal priesthood. And then subpoint 8, Jesus Christ is our royal high priest, and we saw that in Hebrews 8, verse 1. Jesus Christ is our royal high priest, Hebrews 8, 1. Now that brings us to point 8, the session of our Lord Jesus Christ demands a new mental attitude for the royal family. The session of our Lord Jesus Christ demands a new mental attitude for the royal family. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. "If then you have been raised up with Christ," current positional truth, "keep seeking," "keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." So, our session, the session of the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, the session of the Lord Jesus Christ demands a new mental attitude for each one of us as royal family of God. Subpoint 1. We're commanded here to keep on seeking the things above. And that requires living the unique spiritual life of the church age. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number 1, the filling of the Spirit. Keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, keep on walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And then, spiritual skill number 2, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, grow up. spiritually, grow up spiritually in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So to keep seeking the things above, as we're commanded to do, requires living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills. Subpoint two. And that means spiritual priorities must be number one in your life. Spiritual priorities must be number one in your life. Three. The desire to possess your very own greater grace blessing package for time and for eternity motivates you to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. That's why we're here. The desire to possess your very own greater grace blessing package for time and for eternity motivates you to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum in the short time that we're here. And we're here just a short time. Four. The royal family's mental attitude is to think aletheia. To think aletheia. A-L-long-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. Aletheia is the Greek word for absolute truth. The absolute truth of the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ in His prayer to the Father said, sanctify them in the truth, aletheia. Thy word, your word is aletheia, absolute truth. So the royal family's mental attitude is to think aletheia, absolute truth of the Word of God. Not human good and evil. Not human good and evil. You're either going to be influenced by evil or influenced by the grace and truth of the Word of God. We have a lot of believers today that are influenced by human good and evil, not by the grace and truth of the Word of God. Sad to say. Subpoint five. Now, this doesn't mean you can't learn about fascinating human subjects. There are some fascinating human subjects out there. And there are hobbies. There's nothing wrong with having a hobby or two, and pursue that hobby. Nothing wrong with that. Subpoint six. But when it comes to the spiritual life, the system of divine viewpoint thinking must be based on aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. When it comes to the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age, a supernatural way of life demands supernatural power to live it. And that supernatural power has been provided. The universal indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, the divine power to live the spiritual life of the church age. But when it comes to the spiritual life, the system of divine viewpoint thought must be based on aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Seven, ignorance of the absolute truth of the Word of God or rejection of the absolute truth of the Word of God guarantees that you will think human viewpoint garbage and function on human power all of your life. Ignorance of the absolute truth of the Word of God, or rejection of the absolute truth of the Word of God, guarantees that you will think human viewpoint garbage and function on human power all your life. Point nine is the session of our Lord Jesus Christ and the authority of Christ, and that's our verse, Romans 8:34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Yes, rather, the one who was raised, resurrection of Christ, who is at the right hand of God the Father, ascension and session, who also intercedes for us as our defense attorney. So, subpoint one, the session of our Lord Jesus Christ presents the authority of Christ. The session of our Lord Jesus Christ presents the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Subpoint two, Jesus Christ has supreme authority over all human and angelic creatures. Jesus Christ has supreme authority over all human and angelic creatures. And all of this time, Christ is holding the universe together. All of this time, Christ is holding the universe together. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16, for by the agency of Him, Jesus Christ, all things were created. He's the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by the agency of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are held together, being held together by Christ. He is also head of the body of the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything. So the session of our Lord Jesus Christ and the authority of Christ, point nine. Now point ten, the session of our Lord Jesus Christ and occupation with Jesus Christ. The session of our Lord Jesus Christ and the royal family's objective occupation with Christ. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the Old Testament heroes in chapter 11, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run. See, God loves track and field. And He wants you to run. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That's occupation with Christ. That's the goal. That's the objective. To have virtue, love brought to completion in our heart, personal love for the Father, impersonal love for all, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy as Jesus Christ, what was one of the great problem-solving devices that He used in His true humanity? Plus H while He was on the cross. Who for the joy, plus H, set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, the session of Christ. Consider Him, again a command for occupation with Jesus Christ, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The session of our Lord Jesus Christ and the objective for all of us to have occupation with Christ. All right, there it is, the doctrine of the ascension and session of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll come back for part two. And guess what we're going to have? The fourth challenge. We've only had three. We got four and five. The fourth challenge when we come back. Thank you. Go out there and Saul, you bring all this? Goodies? Oh. Yeah.